Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
From the Fifth Quarter Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, you're listening to Coach Unplugged. And now, your host, Steve Collins.
Hey, everybody. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are so happy you decided to join us today. Before we jump in, I'd like to give a big shout out to our two sponsors. First of all, Dr. Dish, the number one shooting machine on the market. It is so easy to set up and break down. I think that's what makes it so handy to use and why I'm basically using it every day at practice. Mention Coach Unplugged and they'll give you $400. You said that right, $400 off your next purchase. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. It's the one-stop shop for basketball coaches. It is run by a basketball coach for basketball coaches at any level. You're not going to find anything out there, and it's got a 14-day free trial. We believe in it so much. We want you to join. We want you to come and kick the tires around. If it's not for you, it's not for you. But I can tell you people love it. I can tell you that people do not want to leave. Go over and check it out. And it's got everything from clinics to videos to me talking to lessons to courses to handouts to practice planning to parenting to whatever you need as a basketball coach. It's got it in there. Also, go over and check out our other podcast, High School Hoops, 5-Minute Basketball Coaching Podcast, Funnel Down Defense, and leave a 5-star review. We'd love those. All right, let's head off to the I was using it all the time. It's just an easy way. I do most of my podcasts even via Zoom. It's just easier, and then I go back and try to clean the audio up. But it's so much easier.
Yeah. All right,
tell me where you're located again.
So I'm Eastern Colorado. So it's about 2 hours east of Denver, pretty dang close to the Colorado-Kansas border, right on I-70. So
okay. I love Colorado. How far are you from Boulder?
It'd be about 2.5-3 hours. So we're not the side of Colorado with the mountains or anything. The side of Colorado no one comes to, but
That's okay.
Yeah, it's rural America, but it's I went to college in Denver and I had friends from Colorado that didn't even know my part of the state existed.
Right. I know. That's why I was sitting there thinking, it's like, all right, So how's the weather?
It's snowy today. We got about 3-4 inches of snow, but probably not.
We're getting walloped today too. And then are you guys playing? Is Colorado playing?
So today is actually like the first day we could play games. So I think there's some games tonight. Our first game is not till Friday. So
okay.
We're just starting this week. What about you guys? Are you guys?
Well, don't get me started. This is like an 8-hour thing. We're not, us and Milwaukee are not playing. The rest of the state is. So the urban areas, most of the big urban areas aren't, especially in Wisconsin. So we've already started planning for next year. So.
Okay. Way it goes, I guess.
I know. The only good thing is I just got back. We had finals last week, so we jumped in the car and drove to Florida for a week, and I taught in Florida. Nice.
Yeah, I bet you don't ever get to do that this time of year. So
I said, it's like my wife's not used to having me around. That's part of the
problem. I bet. Florida is pretty well open, aren't they? I mean,
where we were, we go down near Fort Myers in Sanibel. They were pretty, but yeah, Northern Florida, parts of Georgia and Kentucky, you wouldn't even know there's COVID.
Yeah. That's what I had one of my girls, they drove there. It was more around like Thanksgiving, but they were like, man, along the way they drove there. So when they were stopping, they were like, yeah, there's some places that, you know, it's the same as here, but they were like, once you got to Florida, they spent a week where it was, you wouldn't even know it was going on. So.
I know. So crazy. It's fine. We were on the beach. So it was like, we were basically self quarantining anyway.
Yeah. So that's a good place to do it. So
it is a good place. And it was like, you know, it's like 10 degrees here. It was like 75 and sunny. So
yeah. Tough to beat that.
I know. And I told my wife, I said, this is retirement. I can get used to this. I get
Yeah. There you go.
I'm like the old man, like shuffling down
ideas.
Yeah, I know. I know. I know. It's actually, I what I've told my assistants, we have our weekly meetings on Sunday. I said, this is actually giving me a second wind, I think.
Yeah.
Because I miss it so much. I've been around it since I was five, you know, I played and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead. So you have some questions. I don't need to talk about me. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it. I've heard, you know, some of your podcasts and stuff. It sounds like Read and React, you know, maybe kind of one of your staples, or at least was going back. It sounded like you'd tried it for the, so I just wanted to kind of pick your brain on that. This is going to be, it's my second year coaching high school girls, 1A, smallest division in Colorado. Well,
Give me the size window on 1A.
So I think it goes up to schools with like 85 to 90 kids in their high school. So, I mean, a big 1A school probably has 20 kids out for a team, you know, fields a full JV, full varsity. Okay. This year we're only at 13 girls. I think that number will go up closer to the 20 here in the next couple of years, but yeah, we had 12 last year.
Two, did you do one team?
We played about half a JV schedule. A lot of the teams we play don't even have JV themselves, but we try to get as many JV games as we can.
13 is just a bad number.
Yeah. I thought we were going to have at least 15 this year. And for one reason or another, there was a couple girls, two of them that they had asthma, you know, health problems that the mask. Yeah. So we're supposed to, playing with masks. That's a big issue.
And when do you end?
This year we're going to end, I think the regular season's like March 6th, and then they're doing like a 2-week, no districts, no regionals. It goes right into like a 24-team state tournament type deal. So it'll be like 2 weeks instead of a 3 or 4 week postseason.
Yeah, that makes more sense.
Yeah. Okay, but anyway, so it's not great basketball. There's a couple teams that got some players, but really it's especially on the girls' side, it's a lot of lazy 2-3 zones and I don't know. I don't coach that way. We get up and press.
So here's my theory with that, and I've told other coaches this: teach your girls to shoot.
Yeah.
I mean, and that's spend 80% of my practice shooting threes. If you're gonna zone me, I am just gonna shoot you out of it.
Right. Yeah. And by the end of last year, that's kind of what we were doing, even though we're not very good shooters by any means, but it was, I mean, taking what, you know, what the defense, you know, gave us.
I would do that. And I'll talk about Read and React in a second. I would do that. And then I would tell them to crash the boards. Like, like their boyfriend will never speak to them again. Because there's going to be some weird, funky bounces on the shot.
Yeah. So that's last year being my first year. I mean, I knew what I wanted to do. We got up and pressed a ton and, you know, we're pretty athletic, and this year we're even more athletic, really small, but by the end of last year, no one's going to run on us, at least, you know, and not until you get to the last 2 weeks of the season, you start seeing some good teams, but it was like, man, we could crash all five. And because we were used to press and no one was beating us back, because they would just walk the ball up the court anyway. So we started doing more of that towards the end of last year, and we'll definitely do more of it. And then it's funny you say, you know, teach the girls how to shoot, because that's kind of one of the things I also wanted to ask you about, was just, I'm also the middle school coach, which we got 15 to 20 girls out there, and we do that in school. So we only get like 45 minutes a day. So it's kind of, I guess the part I've been struggling with is how much fundamental should I do versus how much anything that I'm going to do in high school, you know, a couple years later. I know it's a totally different setup from anything you do, but
yeah, no. I've built youth programs. So here's what I would think with the middle school is fun.
Yeah.
You don't want to lose any of them, because you don't have the numbers. So fun.
Right.
So you want to make it fun. That's the first thing. Second thing is, if you see him for 45 minutes, I swear 20 minutes of that would be shooting.
Okay.
And probably 10 minutes of it would be dribbling. And then the rest of it can be stuff that you think you're going to do. Because if girls can shoot and they can dribble, you can teach them man-to-man defense. You can teach them an out-of-bounds play. But they'll have more fun if they score, and they'll have more fun if they can dribble.
Right.
The rest of the stuff, especially on the girls' side at the young age, make it fun. Shoot, dribble, shoot.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
They'll look like LeBron or Bird or whatever. I mean, they're a little crazy with the ball at that age, right?
Right. Right.
That's what I would do. I wouldn't worry about you too much because who knows who will move in, who will move out, who decides they don't want to play anymore.
Right. And not that we do a ton of plays or anything like that, but I guess like this last year. So being my second year, the first year I did a ton of fundamentals and I definitely think it paid off. But it's also not the best basketball group to maybe see how much that impacted. But then this year we have some players at the middle school level that I think have some potential. And man, we did a ton of like UCLA and just up and down drills and they were getting, you know, I mean, I think that helped a ton too. So then it just got me thinking, I'm like, man, I don't know which way is better or worse. And there's not even a right answer.
Just try to get easy buckets too. Yeah. Like, yeah. And the thing is, when I've had teams like that, I would press for the whole entire game. And sometimes I would trap them. Sometimes I wouldn't trap them. Sometimes I'd trap them in the half. I would make the other team, our goal would be to make the other team talk to themselves when they get on their bus to go home. Sometimes you look like you're in a 2-3 and then the two top people just come and try. I mean, enough to keep them off pattern.
Yeah.
Because if you're more athletic, you can beat most teams.
Right. Yeah. And that's what we're going to rely on. I mean, the dribbling, the shooting, it's pretty ugly sometimes.
Athletic people, and the only way all athletic people is more possessions. You want more possessions. You want more possessions. You want more.
100% agree. And
I don't say it's Grinnell, but it's like you want to go. Like
right. It's I lucked into it because that fits my coaching style. That's what I did when I was in high school and stuff. Right. So these first 4 or 5 years, it fits perfect. You know, it'll come and go, I'm sure, but.
And I think it's an easier sell. I think it's an easier sell to the girls too.
Yeah,
we're gonna go have fun. And then you can play more girls.
Yeah,
it's a win-win for everything.
So
do you run? So I love the read and react. I run other offenses too, but I love the read and react. Do you run that against the zone? What are you doing against?
So I've never ran it before this year. Actually, your podcast kind of got me hooked, and then I started doing some more research and stuff on it. And I personally, I guess the reason I really wanted to start it was just because how easy it is to get into transition. You can dribble at someone, get a cut going, and then boom, you're in it or whatever. And because we're not the best basketball players, I just thought that if we got good enough at one of those things, you know, just get into it one or two ways, hopefully we get a shot without
The key is you just want spacing and you just want movement. Just move. Because to be honest with you, it sounds like the teams you're playing, they will make a mistake.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And then we're just gonna score on you then. We're gonna at least get a layup. I like running read and react against the zone. I like all the cutting and moving through the zone.
Yeah. Yeah. So it sounded, I mean, that's why I guess I just have a couple ideas like or I wanted to pick your brain, you know. So do you run it the four out, maybe one post that gets to go anywhere? Do you go the three out?
I do. But the question is, do you have a post? Will you have a post?
No, but we got two or three girls that I just messing around in practice with it. I like, especially at the high post and even the short corner, they make pretty good decisions, but back to the basket, we got no one.
Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. You could go five out. You could also you could have different sets. You could have five outs. You could also have four out, one in, where maybe that girl or girls has freedom. And then what I do is I like coaching them specifically, like they're, I don't know, like the kicker or something. Like you have these specific rules, like you're opposite short corner, opposite the ball, or you're at the elbow and then you're coming and setting a ball screen, or you're doing these things. I'm giving you the freedom to do those.
Okay. And do you, the cutters, do you ever tell them, I mean, I guess you probably want them to stop or find an open space, obviously more than man, you know, they're probably just cutting all the way through every time.
Right. And I just tell them to cut and find space.
Okay. And then a couple passes, and
then you stop for a second because you're probably open for that second.
Right. And do you put a rule on how many passes they stay or anything like that? Or do you just kind of let
them play? Second. If you don't get the ball in a second, you're gone.
Okay.
You're clogging up things at that point. So as they cut, you can stop for a second, but then after that second, you got to keep moving.
Okay. Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
That's kind of what I was struggling with was I personally don't like continuity, especially at our level, just because we're not good enough basketball players that if I spend half my practice running through
my
this.
My best teams, you've heard me say, my best teams is the only time I ran a continuity.
Yeah.
I had
to
control them. The
teams
that aren't as good, I need to not control them because they need to be
right.
But I think it's hard for them to learn when there's space to stop.
Yeah.
That is hard.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the film can be helpful in that a lot.
Right. Yeah. No, I like that. They don't know basketball well enough to not put any rules on it. So that's why I was kind of struggling.
Keep it simple with the rules. Like everyone's always moving. If you're, if someone's denying you backdoor cut, fill the spot, get some painter's tape and fill the spots. Those simple things, don't make it too complicated is what I tell
people. Yeah. Nope. I like that. How about 1-3-1? Do you still run read and react against that?
I do.
Change much?
I cut behind. So I put two guys on top, and I always have the guy that doesn't have the ball cut behind and find space.
Okay.
Because especially if they're extending. But if you swing the ball fast enough against a 1-3-1, you will find openings.
Yeah. I think there'll be one or two teams, and that's probably where they start. I mean, every team who doesn't have athletes who isn't very well coached or whatever, they sit in a 2-3, but then there's the 3-4 teams that if they got athletes, they'll start getting after us as the 1-3-1. So we'll see it a little bit this year, but I was just kind of curious
spacing. It's in talking about 4-out-1-in, that's where that bottom opposite low post can really work, like short corner.
Okay. No, I like that. That kind of covers most of what I had was kind of the middle school part of this too, where, you know, just kind of finding a balance there, but we kind of already talked about that.
I'll find some of my sets on the one and stuff, kind of some of our cuts against the 1-3-1. I'll find that and send it to you. I have a PDF of one because we played a couple teams where they did that and we had some special, you know, setups, how we still ran run read and react, but how we kind of set up against it. So I'll find those. Give me a day, and I'll find those for you.
Yeah, that'd be great. Aside from read and react, is there anything else you kind of suggest against?
No, then I think what you want is you want some specials for specific people is what I tell people. Like if you've got a really good point guard, find some specials or quick hitters, whatever you call them, for those. You know, if you got a post, if you got a big, if whatever, that's where, you know, and then two or three different like sets out of them, like a high 1-4, so whatever it is, like a series, whatever. I don't spend as much time as I used to because you can scout my read and react, but you really can't. I can scout your, you know, that's where you got to like, maybe it's just a clear out. Maybe it's something.
Where
those go.
Kind of on those, obviously some quick hitters are meant specifically for a defense, but do you run a lot of your quick hitters man or zone? Do you differentiate much?
A little bit, not a lot. And it's the same as out of bounds plays. If you have a good out of bounds play, that tends to be a good quick hitter too, or vice versa.
Right.
No, I don't really like, I'll have some if people are in a if you're going to zone me, I'm going to get a shot at the end of the game.
It
might not be a great, but I'm going to get a shot.
Right. Well, that's what, everything we have. I'm a KU guy. I'm a KU fan. And it's like the Mario Chalmers national championship, you know, you put three or four people up high and two people are guarding them in a 2-3. That's what basically all we have in is a few.
Like someone's going to get a shot. And then if it's at the end, we're just going to crash.
Right.
Yeah. That's what I would worry about.
Okay. Nope, I like that. All right, I think the last thing I have, so I'm a big defensive guy. I find that so much easier to coach. I think it's kind of the way I was coached in high school. So I love coaching the defense part of it. But this group, especially the younger girls, this is maybe more like our JV team or maybe into the middle school, but like, do you have any communication drills almost, or anything that I think that what I'm struggling with is they just are getting tired, or, you know, me just punishing him for not talking in normal drills. So,
So I would, you got to emphasize it. So if you emphasize it, it will work. I've got a couple little things I do. Like, especially if you're working on man, I make them point at the ball and call the person's name. You know, if they're in the helpline, I make them call their person and the person has the ball. I make it a little game like,
okay.
Oh, don't you know her name, or don't you know his name?
Right.
It's a habit. How do you build habits? You got to build it by small little pieces first. If you all talk, you got to get the person. So start with the person guarding the ball talking, and then the rest of them will, you know.
Right.
And then you can, what I do is like, you can get a little thing on your phone. It's like a decibel meter that how loud it is. And I tell them, if it ever gets above this, you know, we'll do pizza. I'll buy whatever. So they'll try to, I mean, it takes them a while to get to the point where the gym is loud enough to get it.
Right. Yeah. I like that.
Anything like that. I don't remember what it's called.
I'm sure
it's called like DB decibel. There's all sorts of free apps out there, but
I like that. That's a good idea.
Not coaching. It's like, shoot, I don't know. I haven't used it forever. I got to find it, but it's, if you Google it, it's something like decibel or DB or something, and it will, you can track it. And it's like, you want to play in a loud gym. What does a loud gym sound like? You
know? Oh man. That's one of my biggest pet peeves I think I might've even heard it on one of your podcasts, either you or talking with the coach, but it's like, a quiet gym's a losing gym.
Oh, and it is.
100%. Oh man.
And the thing is, they'll talk, and then practice starts done.
Yeah. Like, yeah. As soon as that drill starts, it's boom, quiet.
I know.
Yeah. No, I think that's a good idea. So, I think
I'll look for that 1-3-1 thing and send it off if I can find it.
That'd be great. Yeah. I think that's kind of all I had. So I appreciate you taking the time, coach.
No problem. I got to go to the grocery store. All right.
See ya.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. Make sure you subscribe, like, we love those. And send me an email, steve@teachhoops.com. Tell me what you want to hear in the future. Also, go over and check out teachhoops.com for coaches who want to get better. Have a great day.
Sports Social Podcast Network.